Hold Me While I Break, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Wonky Elk, read by Tasmi, rated Jen, relationship Rodney and John. Summary: the stress catches up to Rodney, and John is there to help. Notes from the author: this one was written for Tasmi, who wanted a short scene of Rodney breaking down. I've expanded it slightly from the Discord original. Hope you like this version too. Podficker's notes: I do in fact love this version. In fact, I love it so much, I have to podfic it. After the first few near-death experiences on Atlantis, Rodney kind of assumed that he was getting inured to them. Sure, he panicked pretty reliably, but that was his coping mechanism. It was all just talk, or mostly, to keep his emotions occupied and kept out from underfoot, while his brain rolled up its sleeves and got down to work on actual solutions. After the next few, when Rodney found that he woke up screaming more often than was strictly convenient, he was forced to reconsider this hypothesis. But it was only when he caught his hand shaking more than once, for no good reason except that he'd suddenly stepped on a bad memory, like a landmine in his head, that he decided to swallow his pride and go to see Dr. Heitmeier. She let him talk and gave him some strategies, and they helped a little. But it was hard to deal effectively with something that never, ever stopped, never fully letting up, not just the danger itself ebbing and flowing, yet never quite gone, but the lives he'd accepted into his hands, then let constantly slip through them to shatter on the floor while he desperately juggled the rest. And then there was the constant mantra of, Dr. McKay, we need you to. Dr. McKay, there's an emergency in. Dr. McKay, you remember that thing you said not to touch under any circumstances? There was the lack of sleep, which made him slower, which meant he got even less sleep. The continued stubborn non-existence of functional ZPMs. The continued even more stubborn presence of very much functional Wraith. The feeling that his brain, the whole reason he was here, the only reason he was ever tolerated by anyone, was one day just going to crackle and wheeze like some overworked machine in a cartoon, and then explode, cogs and springs flying everywhere with a comical spring, so that they would have to sweep his mind up in a dustpan and try and stick it back together with hope and a glue gun. Which went some way to explain why, after fixing yet another problem which had sprung right out of the last one, like a Hydra's smug little head, Rodney went back to his quarters like a stiff automaton, lay down on his bed, and forgot how to get up again. He could hear the radio from time to time, the noise getting more frequent and more frantic with time, but the words weren't bothering to make sense, so there was no real point in listening. There was no point in anything, really, except drowning. So Rodney tried that for a bit, his breath hitching and clawing at his throat until he found himself suddenly pulled into a blanket of warmth and pressure, which released something inside him like a torrent, a roaring cataract of grief and anxiety carried along on a wave of the sort of helpless, unstoppable tears he hadn't shed since he was 7 and told that he was far too old for that sort of thing. It's all right, Rodney. It's okay. It's all right. Shepard's voice was soothing, not scornful, and he didn't let go, not even when Rodney shook against him and couldn't make words, because the tears had replaced them and sang their own song in a dribbly mess all over Shepard's collar. I'm sorry. I don't know what. I need to get back to my... I'm sorry. They've got it under control, Rodney. I got you for now, okay? All you have to do is breathe. Rodney hiccuped a laugh, because breathing was so much harder right now than it had any right to be. And then he wanted to cry again, because here he was, a grown man, leader of a science department, pioneer in the worlds of physics and galactic exploration, being ambushed by his own emotions and held a prisoner by them, cowering under their weight. But Shepard didn't let go or tell him to pull himself together, man. Just muttered soothing words and held him close and tight and easy, as if this was just something people did. Comforted you when you needed it. Acknowledged even that you could do that. That it was okay to break a little from time to time and to need a moment, or a lot of them, to seal up the cracks. Time passed like a slow lapping wave until Rodney could breathe easily again and was holding on to Shepard because he wanted to, not because he was the only thing keeping him out of the water, a life raft in an unforgiving sea. There were words coming back to him now, his usual milling hordes clicking back into place. But they were still shy and wary enough that all that came out, once again, was, "I'm sorry." Nothing to be sorry for. Hell, I've done this twice already. You're falling behind, Rodney. The familiar note of teasing forced another laugh out of him, a more sincere one time. Feeling odd, but good, contained in his close cocoon of Shepard and reverberating between them. So how about we make a deal? You call me or someone else you trust next time, or before next time, and let them help. And maybe you'll do the same for me or whoever needs it. Okay? Okay. And it wasn't exactly okay, because that wasn't a word that could truly apply here. Not until the Wraith were gone and all of the other myriad dangers with them. They both knew that they couldn't do this for long, that another emergency was always knocking, and it wouldn't politely hold off for Rodney or for any of them to get their bruised and disheveled feelings all neatly patched up and tidied away. But maybe he could just have an hour or so like this, from time to time, with nothing to do but be held, without judgment, and let the waves that were pulling and pulling at him always ebb slowly and steadily away. The end.